The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready.
Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing out there? Mike Missinelli Show. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. And it's so beautiful. It got me thinking about baseball. Yeah, baseball day. We haven't really paid attention to baseball. Let's face it. We've been consumed by matters of the heart when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers. The heartbreak, the hope, all that stuff. The Sixers are now in our rear view. All we have left to talk about with the Sixers is, what will they do from here? Now, that itself, you could talk about for many days. And we will talk about it for many days, because we'll be following along what the Sixers may have to do here and reporting on what they do. Maybe a trade. I don't know. Maybe James Harden news. We'll get back to it. But baseball is now taking over. We got nothing else. You know, we get the Eagles are going to play soon enough. The camps are going to start. We get it. But right now, we are in the throes of paying attention to baseball. And I'm wondering how many people out there actually are paying attention. You know, the Phillies grabbed our attention when they loaded up on all these sluggers. And maybe the Sixers have been the diversion away from the Phillies. Or maybe we're not thinking about the Phillies because we're not thinking about the Phillies. Maybe the Phillies don't excite us. So today, I mean to find out whether the Phillies excite us or not, whether we're going to get on board, whether we're even interested in this Philly team. It's hard to say that the fan base is interested that much now. So this kind of kickstarts the whole baseball season for all of us as we look at, and we'll pay attention now. There's no other distractions. You know, some people look at the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference Finals in the NBA. Very few people will look at the NHL. We're just in a holding pattern until the Eagles get our attention, and that holding pattern is with the Philadelphia Phillies. So I don't know. I want to take some inventory today about what's going on with your fighting Phils and whether the three games that they won in L.A. in a 5-2 road trip maybe turns you on to something here, that maybe the Phillies could be a viable playoff and championship contender this year. So let me take a survey with my crew right out of the chute. Tyrone, you into the Phillies?
I mean, now I am. I wasn't before. Uh-huh. I wasn't before. I also wasn't that into the draft, to be honest, NFL draft, either. The Sixers were overshadowing both of those things.
All-consuming.
Yeah.
No question.
But now I am, and it's an opportunity right now for them to grab people right away if they have a good week this week like they had last week. Another, you win two back-to-back series again this week, right when the Sixers end, and I think they have a chance to grab more people because a lot of the losing happened while the Sixers were still playing. Mm-hmm. So I did notice last week going 5-2 out west. Keep this up, and I'm all in because I need something, and the Sixers are nothing right now.
Jen, are you filling up?
Are you
getting there?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm with Tyrone as well. It was fun with the little West Coast trip here, and again, not watching a whole lot of it, but I found myself last night not knowing what to do. The Sixers obviously weren't on. There was no basketball on, and the Phillies weren't on. And I was like, "What do I do?"
I know
tonight?
It was a void last night.
Yeah,
except you're not watching that new show we own this city.
No, I meant to ask you about it.
Yeah, it's a good show.
It is a good show.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know,
it's solid.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I am. I'm excited about it, and you know, we'll see how it goes from here.
All right. See, I don't know what they are, and it's going to take me a few more games to know what they are. I can look at them and go, okay, they're okay. They seem to occasionally be able to hit. They don't do it every night. The starting pitching has been okay. The bullpen, for the most part, had been okay. There's, of course, the outliers with the Alvarado and the Familia problems. The defense hasn't destroyed them. It's not great. But I look at let's look at position by position. Like, I look at Bohm, and he's, you know, he's settled in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he's a great player yet, but he's settled in.
Yeah,
fielding looks a little better.
Yeah, he looks like an actual major leaguer, which we weren't sure about.
Right.
He looks like a major leaguer.
Yeah. Now, shortstop's been very erratic. Didi Gregorius in and out of lineup, and, of course, you got Stott filling in there, and then the ultimate utility man. Who plays a lot at that position. So you can't get an idea Camargo on what they really are at that position. They're not settled yet. Second base, they're settled. Mm-hmm. And my man's hitting the ball. I don't like him, but he's hitting, and he seems to have reformed a little bit into a professional player.
Last year he hit. This year he hits. He fields his position fine. He's not an issue.
And now Hoskins, he'll hit an occasional bomb, but the average is struggling like it did last year.
Yeah, he'll end up hitting 30 bombs, but the average isn't there.
Yeah, and then you go to Castellanos, who's slumping lately, but he was a consistent 300 hitter. The center field is still a problem, and in left field, Schwarby, he's grinding away to get it going. He just can't seem to get it going consistently and get on a hot wave. So then you look at him, you go, okay, well, I need a little more before I get on. Because right now they're just kind of, all right, they're okay. But that's not enough for me. I don't need it just okay.
Well, if you're going to watch, then you're in.
Well, I watch all the time, whether they're okay or not. My baseball thing is there. Like, I watch no matter what. But whether I believe that they're, viable to win something is another question.
Well, that's different. That's too completely.
Yeah, well, that's what I to really get me into it. It would be like a winning possibility.
No, I just need something to watch. I have nothing to watch.
Well, that's why I watch baseball, because I'm intrigued by the game, and so I study pitches and plays and hits and stuff like that. But when I look at the Philly, I'm going to be entertained because I like watching baseball. But as far as what they are, I don't really know yet.
No one knows yet.
That's okay, right.
Yeah, but that doesn't bother me. I just need them to not stink. As long as they don't stink, I can watch them.
We can come to that conclusion that they're probably not going to stink, right?
No, they're not going to stink. Okay. So, but I do wonder, some people I don't think are ready to make the jump.
From the Sixers?
Yeah, or to the Phillies. They're not ready to make the jump. There's no buzz.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable, isn't it?
Yeah.
After, because let's face it, the Sixer fan base was taken through a meat grinder. The whole season, basically. So with the Ben Simmons stuff, and then the Harden thing came about, and then the angst of the Harden situation, and then the injuries of them beating, and then losing in spectacular fashion in a couple games. And the fan base got beat down. So this is probably a recovery week for the majority of the fan base. So they can't go from Sixers, forget about Sixers, to Phillies right away.
Yeah, but in the past, if they could have. And they have in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. The Sixers destroy people.
They do.
The Sixers really suck the blood out of people. And it takes a while to get a transfusion in this town to get back into it.
Yeah, but with Harper here, people have the ability to make the jump. They just don't want to make it.
Yeah, well, Harper's one of nine dudes, though. On a baseball field. He can't pitch. He can't play. He's one of, like, we can get behind Harper any day, but it's like the collective in baseball is what matters.
You could be right. But I'm ready to make the jump.
Okay. All right.
Because I'm not trying to figure out something.
If you like sports, then you got to make the jump because that's what you got.
And I have no interest in the Eastern Conference Finals. I have some interest in the Western Conference Finals.
Out of bitterness?
Yeah, I don't want to watch them. I don't think the Heat are very good.
You hate the Heat and you hate the Celtics.
The difference is I think the Celtics are very good.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics are very good, even though I hate them. And I think the Heat aren't very good, and I hate them. So they all can just go ahead. But I am intrigued by the Warriors and Mavs. I'll be locked into that tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I watch those games. Because I actually think both those teams have... it's just better quality.
Yeah, it'll be highly entertaining.
Yeah, but I have no interest. So that opens the door for me to go fill it, get all fillied up, and start. I don't know who the hell's pitching tonight, but start a nice little streak tonight and go from there. I tried to check this morning, could not. It just still said Tom Bob Anderson.
Yeah.
Well,
TBA. All right, so we'll have the starting lineups for you shortly. During the show. So define what your baseball interest is right now and define where you are with the Sixers, because there's a transition that has to take place in your belly for you to move on to the Phillies. And I'm wondering how long will you hold on to the meat grinder the Sixers put you through. And today is General Knowledge Tuesday. Now, let me explain. It's normally Wednesday. But tomorrow, we're going to be on remote at the Brian Dawkins Golf Tournament. So we have switched General Knowledge Wednesday, which we won't be able to do tomorrow because we have a lot of guests that we'll talk to live. We're going to do it today, General Knowledge Wednesday. So our General Knowledge categories today are General Knowledge, families, famous families, either fictional or real. Top Gun quotes. You got to fill in the quote. And words named for places. You want me to give you an example of that?
Yes, please.
Words named for places is, hold on 1 second here. I'll get it in a second. I kind of lost it here. Well, I lost it. But but on the other side, I swear I'll give you an example.
Okay.
All right. Here's how you get in. 610-622-0975. The prize for today, you get a $50 gift card for B&B Beverages. We've given this away before. It's fantastic. $50 for beer or cigars, whatever you want, beer and cigars. It's in the historic Doylestown off the 202 Byway. B&B Beverages, tremendous selection of craft beers, bigger cigar selection than most area cigar stores. Go online and see what they have at bnbbeverages.com. That's bnbbeverages.com. Mike Missanelli Show. General Knowledge Tuesday. We'll have some fun today as we transition to baseball. 220, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. General Knowledge today. Tell your friends and neighbors. 610-622-0975. 2 o'clock hours brought to us by Ferguson, HVAC Lion, Conklin. Attention, you HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is one of the first counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Do that today. Let's start our Twitter poll. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. If you've got a lawnmower and it's a little, you know, bulky, or if you need a new one, Paul B. Moyer and Sons Doylestown is the place to go. They maintain your mower at poweredbymoyer.com. All you got to do is get in touch with them by website. Jen Scordo has the Twitter poll for us today.
Okay, today, on a scale from 1 to 10, how excited are you about the Phillies? You can answer 1 to 4, 5 to 6, 7 to 8, or 9 to 10. Right now, 5 to 6 is winning by 41% here in our early votes.
Okay. All right. We'll be talking about these Phillies today. Ben Davis will join us a little bit later. And let me tell you about the prize today. The prize is a $50 gift card for B&B Beverages, Beer and Cigar Superstore in Doylestown. All right, so the one category that was kind of confusing is called words named for places. So these are words that were derived from the name of a place, such as a city, state, or country.
Okay.
So if I said to you the definition, it's a ground beef sandwich, and the place is a German city.
Oh.
So that would be?
Hamburg.
Correct. It's okay. A hamburger from Hamburg.
Okay, I get it.
All right, got it?
Got it.
Beautiful.
Thank you for that.
Okay. All right, so let's start it up. We still, listen, if you still want to talk Sixers, we are here for you. Because that's never going to go away. I mean, we have a lot of things to go over on what they're going to do with certain players and how they're going to manage James Harden and the contract and the salary and all that kind of thing. And whether they keep their first-round pick or whether the Nets are going to take that this year. How else can they get better? Will they trade Tobias Harris? There's so many issues on the table right now.
Well, somebody was walking in graduation, and they held up Asian-American kid. Congratulations. Hope he goes on to do great things.
Uh-huh.
He holds up something because they knew they were filming it that said, Fire Doc Rivers.
No
way. At his graduation?
Yeah. This was like today. It's going viral like today.
Locally?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a pen.
My goodness.
Yo, no, it's a Philly kid.
Well, I don't, you know.
So part of me thinks.
How about peace in the world? Would that have been a better sign?
This is, he held it up like it was just like a size of his phone. One part of me's thinking, okay, we have passionate fans here. Another part is, perhaps this is where it kind of goes too far. Like, this is the happiest day. Well, it's a day that will allow him to move on with his life and do whatever he makes of it, okay? Because I'm not going to make these fake promises. There's people out here with these degrees doing nothing in these streets. but it's an opportunity to do great things. Should that be top of mind? Fire induction should be top of mind on a day like this.
If I'm that kid's pop, I go, I just spent $400,000 to get you through this school, and the best you're going to give me is fire Doc Rivers at graduation?
That's kind of where I'm at. I don't want to be the fun police, though, because I don't think it's a big deal. And to, like, disqualify him from jobs or nothing, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying sometimes, because we're the best fans, but we're not perfect. Do we sometimes allow ourselves to get too swept up? Because it has nothing to do with his age. There's a 50-year-old who's got that up in his office.
It has nothing to do with his age. I don't have a problem with the thought. I have a problem with the pen pedigree. Like, you could get, like, if it's Cabrini.
Well, hold on.
If it's Harkham. You know?
No, you can't go.
You can't do this. You can't go Ivy League with Fire Doc Rivers.
But why not? No, no. Graduating college is significant, whether it's University of Delaware, Drexel.
No, I'm not saying it's not significant. I'm saying it looks more glaring because of the price of the Ivy League education and the parents' investment in that, then you come up with Fire Doc Rivers.
But I hear you, but it was very small. It was like the back of his phone. It wasn't like he held up a huge sign.
Oh, it is tiny. Yeah.
It's small. All right. But
yeah.
I believe it's Penn. Do I have that right, Jen? I think that's what it said.
This Instagram doesn't say what it is.
Yeah. So I believe. But to me, it's just, should you be thinking about firing somebody?
You should be thinking about a job, which he probably has, which makes him feel like he's invincible.
It could be that.
Well, yeah. Shouldn't it say, hire me?
But he
just graduated
probably,
and hire me?
He's probably got something locked up.
But even if he has it locked up, why are you thinking about that? Why do we bring it? Sometimes we bring more negativity to the situation than we need to.
We're still invested in it, though. Yeah. We're still invested. The emotions of it are still white hot for some people.
All right. Yeah, I saw it during this last year.
No, I don't know. But like white hot for graduate college. I mean, listen, somebody's been suffering through Philadelphia fan base and sports misery for a lot of years. I don't know if it's a 21-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm trying to scroll because I saw it during this last break. And a couple people that shared it were saying, why is this top of mind on a day like today?
Because he wanted to go viral. Probably.
But it's so small, I don't even know if he knew. I don't know. But there's already.
He probably couldn't bring a big sign in there, so he had to do what he could do.
He had to, they probably weren't going to have it.
Yeah.
I just wonder sometimes. Like, I'm ready to turn the page to baseball. Warm weather, happiness. Mm-hmm. Goodness, that's what I think about baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wallow in the Sixers' misery. Now, there may be more misery coming. And if there is, I'll deal with misery when misery arrives.
No, I totally agree with you, but by the same token, it hovers. You know, it's like you can't get away from it. It's a cloud. It's hovering. Some of the droplets still get on you.
Maybe this was his last thing. Maybe that's just exactly what he needed to satisfy himself. In this situation.
Okay. I'm just wondering, how would you have felt at Penn State if your daughter, so it's not the Ivy League, you love Penn State, and she had a small thing on the back of her phone that said, fire.
That would be inappropriate for my daughter. Maybe it's a son. I don't know if his lady likes to fire Doc Rivers, but a son who's invested in the sport, like
the lady could be invested.
I
found it. His name is Leo Chen. It's Penn.
Penn.
Well, from Penn, from the arts and science, he has a degree in philosophy. Uh-huh. Oh, like it pops up. I think politics and economics.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Philosophy.
He earned that. Politics and economics at Penn. Like some, you get a degree at Penn State, and sometimes it's like, okay, you know, you're not the guy who just graduated from Penn and engineering degree. You got a lot of knuckleheads.
So the school plays a role
degrees.
For you.
Yes.
Yeah, for
the
me, school, it doesn't play a role.
School plays a role for me.
Yeah, school doesn't play a role.
Male, female, school doesn't matter.
Yeah, like just. I don't know if you should be bringing negativity to your good day.
Okay.
That's kind of where, whether it's whatever college. Yeah.
Shippensburg.
Yeah, don't do
matter.
It. Like, I'm saying, it's not a big deal if you do do it. It doesn't mean you should be disqualified from anything. It doesn't mean you're a bad fan.
Lock Haven.
I'm saying, regardless of the school,
perfectly fine.
It should be something positive that day.
Susquehanna.
No, because that guy's going to go on to do something more significant than sports.
How about LaSalle?
You can't do it. To me, you shouldn't do it if it's, you should only bring something
hardcore
positive.
Sports type of, you know, blue collar school.
Nah.
You throw that out there, LaSalle.
No, I don't think the school makes a difference. I think it's about what you should do. Again, and I want to make it clear, it doesn't mean the kid get every job. I hope he goes on to be a trillionaire. It's not that. I'm just saying, when you look back on that day, I would like to think you would want to be remember the good thing. Not, man, I made a plot show Doc Rivers that day.
Well, let me ask you, Villanova, that would rank you, wouldn't it?
No!
A kid in Villanova did, that would rank you a little bit.
Yes, but it would at all the schools. I'm saying it has nothing to do with the fact that it's Penn. I would think, you just paid all that money to go to Villanova. This, you're a graduate. You're about to have a big life, and you're now using that game to fire Doc Rivers.
There's a snoot factor that's involved.
A snoot factor?
Yeah, like a kid in Villanova would do that, and I would say, that's kind of punkish. Kid and Penn, same thing.
I don't think it matters.
Like $400,000, you know.
I hear you. And his page, because somebody showed it, it said Jesus follower. And I'm not saying he doesn't follow Jesus. What I'm saying is he didn't do what would Jesus do. That's not turning the other cheek.
No.
His page says that's all.
It's it's an anti-Jesus thought.
Right. And I just wonder, like, Booney, now your daughter's graduated already.
Uh-huh.
Booney's kids are young still.
Uh-huh.
I wonder how Booney would feel fast forward and there's a different coach. And hopefully the Sixers even win a title between now and then. But they're like 10 years from now, Red Velvet's graduating college. How does Booney feel if his son goes to a non-Ivy League school and puts up fire such and such, and his ruling is he would go to the back of his head. He wouldn't want him to do it. See, he wouldn't want his son to do it.
I don't think any parent would want their child to do it.
Yeah, he wouldn't want his son to do it.
See, here's my thing. I don't want to belabor this, but you're yearning for attention. Like, if you do it at a smaller school, you're yearning for attention, which I can understand.
Okay.
At the big school, like the elite thing, you got an elite degree in your pocket. To me, that's a violation.
Okay.
That's all. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I don't care either way. You know? I think it's funny.
Yeah, because he thinks it's kind of a look at me type of move.
Yeah, it's a look at me type of move. When you graduate from Ivy, so you need a look at me. You know what that does? It just rankles me more. It's a punk move.
But Booney agrees with us that the school doesn't matter. You just shouldn't do it. Now, he doesn't mean that the kid should be vilified. I want to make this clear. What we're saying is weird timing, not, oh, this kid's a bad person. I just want to make that very clear. No one's calling anybody a bad person. It's just something that goes viral. And sometimes at things that go viral, I ask why. Like, why did you decide to do that? How did this become a thing? Jen and I have those conversations sometimes. Like, how did that become a thing?
I'd love to talk to that kid about what his hate is for Doc Rivers. He'd be just like a regular caller, but you know, bring him on there.
Yeah,
what's his name? Leo Chen?
Leo
Chen. Anybody knows Leo Chen, have him call in. I'll talk to him.
Yeah, now somebody else. Now, this is the opposite. Over the weekend, a graduate in Boston at one of the many schools up there held up a thing, and in the back of the phone, it said Celtics in 7. See, that I'm good with. Because Saturday, he graduates, and he's putting it into the game Sunday. And that's a positive thing.
Huh?
And then they won the game, so he can remember that because he's doing something good.
Yeah.
To me, it's still look at me a little bit, but it's a positive.
In total different circumstances.
I think positivity on graduation, good. Negativity on graduation, to me, not so good when you have so much to look forward to finishing college in a spot where right now I personally know of like 97 companies that are hiring.
Uh-huh.
I know plenty of people that graduated college in previous years where nobody was hiring. Like, if you want a job, it might not be the job you want, but if you want a job, there are a lot of jobs generically available right now. So you should be feeling pretty good if you graduate in 2022. Some of them years, I remember class of 08, things were lean. 09, things were lean.
Yeah.
you were graduating. You know,
Penn didn't ask me again to be their commencement speaker.
Oh, they did?
No, they didn't.
So I've been hanging in there year after year to see University of Pennsylvania could, you know, Help a brother out for a commit.
But wouldn't Penn State make more sense for you?
It would, but Penn's in my city.
Right, so you wouldn't have to travel.
I track all the graduation speakers.
Okay.
And Martelli even got some play this year. He's in Ann Arbor.
Yes, but he was here a long time.
He's at some grocery store in Ann Arbor. He got called back to be a commencement speaker somewhere.
I got it. Yeah. They have some schools. My brother graduated from William & Mary. John Stewart was the speaker.
Uh-huh.
He went there.
That's good.
That was a good one. And
yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah. I'm not big enough for Penn State. There's bigger graduates. I'm just saying, like, help a brother out in his own city.
Would you? Okay. I'm trying to think of how far. Would you go to Rowan to do theirs? Would you go that far?
Certainly.
All right. Would you go to Stockton?
Like Atlantic City? I'd go anywhere.
All right.
Except Penn State.
I'd go to Harcum. No, Penn State asked me. I'd do it. It's not realistic.
All right.
Okay.
You know, so many more important grads Penn State produces.
Interesting.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, it is time for What's Brewing with Jen at 3:45. We do it every day at this time. Jen Squirto finds three stories that will totally fascinate and engage us. So let's get right into it, Jen. What do we have today?
All sports stories today. So first one, starting with Tom Brady. This made me giggle and kind of happy. Tom Brady is going to get roasted on Netflix. There's a new special coming out called Greatest Roast of All Time, or GROAT, kind of like goat, but Greatest Roast of All Time. It's going to tape in 2023, so they haven't yet done it yet. However, I feel this is going to sway it just a little bit. Tom Brady is also the executive producer of the multi-roast deal. So he's the executive producer. They're roasting him. I feel like he's going to pare it down just a little bit.
Of course he is.
You really think so?
Of
like
course.
A lot, though?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Peyton Manning would get up there and just be like, throw it at me. I'll take whatever you can give.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's going to be like, yeah.
Brady's got his image.
Right?
You only get too far.
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
okay, like, could you let me ask you this. Could you make a quip about
Nick Foles?
The way he dumped, what's her name?
Yeah.
You would have to.
I think you got to.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Do you think he'll allow that?
Yes.
And
here's why. I think he's going to use 2023 as a big rollout. I think he's going to play one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to retire again. In his mind, he thinks win another Super Bowl because that's how he's wired.
Mm-hmm.
I get the 8th Super Bowl. I walk away. I got a boatload of Fox money coming.
Right.
And this is part of my rollout. Everybody thinks that Peyton's the funny one. I'll show you. And I bet you he's trying to compete with him in that. Because Peyton Manning, he's passed him as a player.
Yeah.
But everyone knows Peyton's funny from SNL and different stuff. Peyton's funny.
Yeah.
I bet you that's Brady going to try. Now, he may not be funny at all. Although I will say he's pretty clever on social media, which I didn't expect.
Yeah.
I think he actually goes with it to a point. But I think that comes up. Yeah. Foles coming up is the question.
Mm-hmm.
That he might not allow because he doesn't seem to respect Nick Foles.
Yeah.
That's true.
He has to respect his baby mama. Because, I mean, the kid is still there.
That's so true.
He has to respect it, so.
I thought this was kind of cute. Netflix's vice president of stand-up comedy, Format, said, quote, "We can't wait to burn three-time Super Bowl losing quarterback Tom Brady." Not the other way around. Winning quarterback.
Now, Netflix has all the top comics.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are the odds that they could get, whether it's Kevin Hart, Chappelle, Cat Williams, Mike Epps.
Probably pretty high.
To go on, because they don't usually do the roast, like they don't do the Comedy Central roast like that. Like Kevin Hart might have done them in the past, but recently they haven't. But if they're part of the Netflix family, because could Brady bring out the big heavy hitters on the Netflix brand? Because that would be make it much watch.
As executive producer, he probably could.
Yeah. Could he get the biggest guys?
So they're going to tape it in 2023. No date on when it's going to be revealed.
All right.
Could be good. Could be pared down. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So, evidently, there's a haunted hotel in Milwaukee, and every time a Major League Baseball team goes to play the Milwaukee Brewers, they get put up in this haunted hotel. I had never heard this story before. It's called the Pfister Hotel, or the Pfister Hotel, and the Atlanta Braves just recently stayed there, and they did say that they had some ghostly stories, kind of. They dealt with some long power outages, some low water pressure, no hot water. And then they went and lost to the Brewers. I have always heard that ghosts steal energy. Like when your lights mysteriously go off or you lose power like that and there's no storm, it's beautiful outside, that supposedly is some kind of ghoul stealing your energy. That's what I've always heard of. So that's kind of what the Braves ran into. Evidently, Bryce Harper, before his days as a Philly, said that he stayed in the hotel once. He laid his clothes out on the edge of a bench when he went to bed, like at the foot of his bed. Went to sleep, woke up, and the clothes were all across his room, like strewn across the room when he woke up in the morning.
So, Mike, this has put you in a bind.
Yeah.
You don't believe in ghosts, but you are still a baseball man, and baseball men are all superstitious.
That's true.
So that put, yes, you are. You all guys are all superstitious.
Well, we are, as far as the game goes, but not as far as staying at the hotel.
Okay,
but
you stay at this hotel. It's haunted. Your clothes, you want to wear something because of that, and now the ghost touches it and moves it like it did Harper. Harper might have had a lucky sleeve or a lucky glove or something laying out, and it got strewn around the room. And then your thing, then you go 0 for the series. Do you believe in it then?
Well, if stuff was moved around and nobody was there, well, if that happened, but nothing remotely has ever happened nor have I witnessed anything like that. If I was in the room and my baseball pants were hung on a light post, then yeah, obviously. But then I would have to say that maybe it was one of my teammates broke in and tried to do it.
You would wake up.
Yes.
You wouldn't wake up.
The baseball people, they know it's a haunted hotel. Well, let me see if I can mess with him. And they creep into the room and do something like that.
I could see that happening.
Well, what if you lock the room and you even do the little latch?
They can get in. They're slick. They can get in. You know, they play practical jokes all the time, those baseballers.
I guess.
But I'm reading about this. It's the last the 19th century Grand Hotel remaining in downtown Milwaukee.
Well, there you go.
It's on the National Register of Historic Places.
Well, it's definitely haunted then. Definitely.
The largest hotel collection of Victorian art in the world.
Oh, that's neat.
About that.
Yeah. There you go. So, next time you go to Milwaukee. All right, Mike, we were talking about this before the show. Beer prices have skyrocketed at the PGA Championship this weekend. If you want to stay sober, you can keep some money in your pocket. If you want to have a brew this weekend and you're going to pay $18 for a Michelob Ultra, a Stella Artois, or a Michelob Ultra.
19.
No?
Yeah, 19.
19.
19 for that, right?
No, the Michelob. Yes, so the Michelob Ultra is $18. Yeah. Stella, Michelob Ultra Seltzer or cocktail priced at $19. The cheapest drink that's going to be available this weekend is wine at $13 a glass.
There's a $15 beer there, though, isn't there? What's the $15 beer?
This article did not list a $15 one.
I think there's a $15 beer.
And like you said, this is at Tulsa's Southern Hills.
Yeah.
But
I mean, come on.
In comparison, at Augusta National, you could get 3 beers in, also served in a souvenir cup for the price of the $18.
I know. It's absurd. Come on. $19 for Stella. Let's go.
That's a lot.
Well, see, and that forces me to get drunker.
How so?
You want me to drink beer. The price has to make sense. You've boxed me out of beer, so now it's hard liquor.
Oh, yeah. Or the wine.
You boxed me in.
The wine. So you're paying the $19 for the hard liquor instead of beer?
Yeah, I bang for the buck. If I'm going to drink anything, I want to drink something that does the job then.
Well,
you're putting me in that bind. I'm not paying that for a beer. Like, I won't. I have paid a lot of money for a drink in my life. I won't pay a lot of money for a beer.
It makes a little bit more sense because if you drink hard liquor or wine, you're not going to be running to the bathroom as much, so you're going to keep your place, you know, there on the fairway.
It's
distasteful.
Yes, it really is. It's like, come on. Like, what's the point of that?
And hard to believe that it's more than the Masters. Like, you would think that you'd pay more.
Notoriously affordable
the Masters is.
And they're making a profit there.
Yep.
So you can imagine the profit that they're trying to draw here.
Any place that sells beer is making a profit.
Right.
Flat out.
Right. But to sell it for $19, there's something wrong with it.
Is it a big can? Like,
it didn't say. I wondered. I'm assuming that it's the gigantic one you get at a concert.
Justin Thomas tweeted it out also a picture of the price board.
Right.
And I thought I saw 24 ounce.
It probably is. I can't imagine that they would sell just the
24 ounce now. Now that changes the.
No, it doesn't.
That. 24 ounce.
I'm not paying.
No, it
so
doesn't.
That's like paying $850 for a Stella. No, I'm good.
I get it, but still, like 24 makes it a little more palatable. If it's a 24 ounce. No?
Because $850 is too much for a Stella. No disrespect to Stella, I'm saying. Yeah. Stella.
Well, at the ballpark, what are you paying for beer these days? You paying $12 a beer yet?
Yeah. Probably.
For 18?
Right.
Maybe, yeah, it's not, they're bigger. They're a little, they're, yeah, they're
but
a little
not the 24 ounce.
They're not 24. They're in between those two. It's not the 12, and it's not the 24.
And that's too much.
Yeah. What are your hot dog prices? You can't change the price out of there. Like a hamburger, hot dog, you're getting something like that. A burger probably is like at least $20.
Probably.
All right. Probably. Anyway, that is What's Brewing with Jen for today.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're trying to make a transition from Sixer woe to Philly pride and the summer of baseball. And for some insights on that, we bring in the man that you hear on Philly's telecast on the NBC Sports Philadelphia on the Comcast Business Line Hotline. He's Ben Davis. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. So, Ben, you know, there was a point with the season, and you go, okay, it's still early, but you can't let teams get too far ahead of you. What did this 5-2 road trip do for the Phillies to bring them back in it?
Well, it showed me that they got some really good starting pitching, and the bats are starting to come around. I'll start with the pitching. It's been probably around the last three or four rounds that these guys, the starters have gone, the last three or four starts per starter. It's been a complete turnaround from the beginning of the year. It's been fun to watch. They're pitching to contact. They have the ability to strike you out if they need it. They have the ability to stay out of the big inning. I think that's something that they've really been able to do in recent games. So that's been promising, very promising. The bullpen is still a big concern for me. But the offense, man, it was fun to watch. And it wasn't just two or three guys in that lineup. It was 1-9. The one game, I think 6-9 ended up having like six hits, and they scored like five runs. So yeah. If you can have that kind of production from the bottom of your lineup, you know you're doing something right. But it was just the at-bat, the approach. They had an approach. They stayed with it. They did the little things. They stole bases. They tagged up. They had a lot of sac flies. The situational hitting was really good. It was just a good all-around offensive effort.
Yeah, the bullpen has had its moments, but I guess the Alvarado-Familia thing has held them back a little bit. Who are you seeing who's really doing the job and who needs to really pick it up?
Well, I think Sir Anthony has done a phenomenal job, and I think you're going to see kind of, you know, his role being reversed a little bit, having him push more towards the back of that bullpen, because, you know, he was coming in, he was like sixth inning, seventh inning guy, and being lights out. He's got the velocity back on the four-seamer. The two-seamer has been electric as well, but he's got that wipeout slider that he's got now, and man, it's been awesome to watch. But I think you might see maybe Alvarado and Familia maybe get bumped up a little bit. You know, maybe they might be the sixth, seventh inning guy because they just haven't been really reliable. If you look at the Dodgers series in particular, they had 15 walks out of the bullpen. 15! And that cannot happen in a four-game series. It just, you know, you're walking that tightrope. They're able to get out of there with those three wins and go 5-2 overall on that road trip. But the bullpen's got to be better. You know, I think some of those other guys, I think Knebel, it definitely is the lockdown closer. He didn't show that on Sunday. I get that. But I think that was just more pitch selection than anything else. But I do like the back end if they move Sarah mm-hmm. towards the end there.
Okay, so they're definitely improved from last year. You feel better about that part of it.
I do. I think they're better than that. I just think, you know, they got to throw strikes. You can't come out of the bullpen. If I'm a manager and you come out of the bullpen and you walk somebody, that would get my Irish up. That would get my Irish up in a minute. It just can't happen.
All right, let's look at the defense, first of all. And like tonight, is, you know, with the Bryce Harper situation, it sets up a really weird thing. We've got to play Quinn and Herrera in the same outfield, and you've been really running Castellanos ragged out there. So how has their defense been to you?
I think they've been okay. They've been serviceable. I know not the only guys in that defensive lineup that could possibly win a gold glove would be Segura and Realmuto. And I think the other guys understand that. And before the season started, everyone was like, oh, the defense is going to be terrible. What are they going to do? They're going to have to score 12 runs a game because the defense is going to have to let in 10 runs a game. I said, listen, as long as they make the fundamental play, that's all I'm concerned about. And that's something they have been making the fundamental play. They've been hitting the cutoff man. They know when they can lay out for a ball and when they just let the ball bounce as opposed to letting it by them, and that guy ends up with a triple. They've been fundamentally sound, and I've had no issues with it. They played tremendous defense on Sunday. Obviously, did not come out of there with a win, but they've been pretty darn good, turning a lot of double plays. I've been happy, you know, with the defense, and I don't think they've really shot themselves in the foot a whole lot.
All right, let's talk about the Harper situation with the platelet injection. Were you saying that you also had that?
I didn't have it.
You didn't have it?
I would have tried it if it was.
You would have tried it
at the time because I played with mine for about a year and a half, and then I ended up having Tommy John anyway because I had calcium deposits basically holding my ligament together. I would have tried it, see if it worked, and then if not, then I would have had Tommy John anyway.
Yeah.
But this is something that I think that needed to get done. Bryce doesn't feel whole right now because he feels he can only help the team in one way. You know, he thinks he's an above-average right fielder. He likes playing right field. He loves playing the defense. It helps him take his mind off the offense, I think, if he's struggling at the plate. But it's definitely something he wants to get back out there. Plus, it'll provide some other guys maybe a day off or DH, you know, get Schwarber or Castellanos off their feet. I mean, those two guys have played left and right field every game.
Yeah, they really have, especially Castellanos looks a little ground up right now.
Exactly. I mean, if he can get back, if maybe this does work, after the 4 weeks he starts that throwing program and he can get back in the field, it's only going to help everybody else and keep everybody else fresh.
If it doesn't work, I hate to think, but they would have to, how realistic that they can weather the storm that, like that all year?
Well, if they can do it, I mean, it doesn't hurt him when he swings. So, and I can tell you, you know, being a left or switch hitter, but having hit left-handed, it's not going to bother him. With the inside of his elbow, it's not going to bother him. It's not going to be an issue. So if it doesn't work and he ends up having to have surgery, you know, I think he could make it through the whole season, see how the season progresses. If they're going to be out of the race, maybe he can get surgery done earlier than later. If they're in the race, he can stay in that lineup every day. But even if he has to have it at the end of the year, I think he's going to see something that, you know, a guy that can, maybe be back. You know, he doesn't have to throw. He can just hit. Maybe he can be back, you know, playing the field by maybe June or July.
Bryson Stott, talk to me about what they're going to do there with this. You know, it's been an erratic situation there with Didi in and out and Stott up and down. What are they going to do with him?
Well, he needs to get at bats. You saw a little bit of a glimpse of him, what he could do. He's played a heck of a shortstop. He's very confident out there. I mean, just the tag play he had alone the other day on Taylor was phenomenal. But he's played a very good shortstop. I think he's starting. The more pitches he's going to see, and remember, he hasn't seen any of these guys at the big league level. So the more bats he gets, I think he's going to be okay. He's got to use his own field, which I love. But he just needs to be more comfortable. He's not getting a whole lot of playing time right now. I think once Didi comes back, I think Stott's going to have to go down to get more bats, more playing time, and then Camargo can be that, you know, uber versatility guy.
Ben Davis, as a former catcher in this game, I know you share a passion for your position. And you defend it hard. And the other day, I had to laugh. You lost your mind the other night with the lazy ass catching technique with the one knee down on the guy.
I just don't get it. I mean, if you're going to steal, say 3 to 5 pitches a night by being on one knee and getting that low strike and working your mitt up through the strike zone, if you're going to 3 to 5 pitches, but if you're going to block pitches in the dirt and save one or two runs, isn't that more important than getting a pitch call? I went off the other night. I went off that tangent. You should see Tom in the booth. He was looking at me like I was 10 heads. But it's something that I didn't do a whole lot of things well. But one thing I did really well, I took a lot of pride in, was my receiving and my blocking. And it's something I worked on every day. And if you can't block a pitch, if that pitcher out there doesn't have the confidence in you to throw a curveball in the dirt or a slider in the dirt to get somebody to fish, then he's going to hang it and it's going to be belted out of the ballpark. And that's something I just don't understand. You saw what happened the other night in Seattle. It was a wild pitch.
Yeah.
And I mean, with Robbie Ray on the mound, what do you think is going to happen? Every breaking ball he throws, he's going to bounce too. And I just didn't understand why Torrance didn't get off, you know, 1 knee and try and block it, you know, the conventional way. And but it worked in the Phillies' favor. I just don't see why it keeps happening.
All right, and another thing I want to touch on that has nothing to do with the Phillies is, as a switch hitter, you obviously were used to that. I watched Anthony Rendon the other night come up against Brett Phillips, left-handed, and hit one out. How now, most guys will fool around with it, but how difficult is that to hit one out?
It's when I saw that, I went, "You got to be kidding me." I thought that was like one of the most remarkable things. I put that up there with, you know, and I said on the broadcast the other night when Vince Velasquez got hit in the hand and he threw his glove off and threw a bullet left-handed to first base.
Yeah.
I put it up in that kind of category. What Rendon, I mean, think if you're in your backyard and you hit all right-handed, say, I'm just going to turn around and hit a wiffle ball left-handed. You got no chance, but this guy did it in a big league ballpark and went way deep to right center. I tipped my cap to him. That was freaking. That was awesome.
It really was pretty phenomenal.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I just one quick question on the Reese Hoskins situation. You know, he seems to get in a home run groove and then not. When you watch him hit, what are you seeing?
Well, I see when he uses the whole field, he's a completely different hitter. In the beginning of the year, he was on fire. He was driving balls to right center. He was staying on pitches. He was good with two strikes. And then he seems like he got in a funk where he's like, okay, I'm content with hitting doubles to right center. I'm going to hit homers to left. And then he starts getting around the baseball, and it just doesn't work for him. But once he starts to stay on pitches like he did in this road trip, he's a completely different hitter. And I think he's starting to realize that a little bit more, and he's a heck of a lot more consistent. He's obviously an up-and-down guy, but when he uses the whole field, he's a completely different animal.
Give me a scouting report on Clevinger tonight. That's the former Phil, right?
It is. It's a former Phil. No, this is different Clevinger.
Oh, this is the one from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay,
is,
all right.
Yeah, exactly. The Clevinger that the Phillies just faced was a left-hander that the Phillies used to have. So this is a different Clevinger.
Now, okay.
He's all right. Tough.
What's he got?
Good fastball slider. We'll miss the match, but he's hasn't had a whole lot of innings the last couple of years, but he's got the goods, and the Phillies are going to have to do some damage, especially the lefties. He can be really tough on righties.
All right, sounds good. Ben, we'll look forward to it. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Ben Davis, Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.